This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next-level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next-level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. He is the mastermind of the pigskin. That is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. It is a day of love. It is Valentine's Day. And the celebrations are underway as we speak in the city of brotherly love for a Super Bowl parade for the Philadelphia Eagles, the champions of Super Bowl 59, celebrating the second Lombardi Trophy in franchise history. We hope you feel the love here on FFC. It is the offseason, but there are so many news and notes around the National Football League to break down each and every day. It's what we do to send you into the weekend up until 1 p.m. Eastern time. Lisi Guy, today on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, turn the page. We're in the 2025 campaign already, and there's nobody I would want to do the show with other than you, baby. Give me kisses. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Happy Valentine's Day, baby. This is it, right? Love, joy, happiness for the Philadelphia Eagles and for other teams searching for that title. Teams like the New York Giants or some of the bottom feeders in the NFC and AFC. We'll see about the offseason moves, and then obviously, Ben, you and I will be covering the draft in a few months, so that's what it's all about.
Absolutely so, Joe, and that's the next big event on the NFL calendar. 10 days from right now, February 24th, in the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. We'll talk about the 329 prospects headed to Indy in just about a week and a half and what it all means in terms of those draft odds and the number one overall selection, the numbers that are currently available. Joe, what a week it has been for Kellen Moore in the Big Easy, in the city of New Orleans. He guides Philadelphia offensively to a Super Bowl championship on Sunday night in NOLA. He stays in New Orleans to make it his new home, named the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints. And yesterday, his introductory press conference for the first time at 36 years old, the youngest head coach in the NFL. He talked about the process, the hiring position, what he expects when he is there in New Orleans. And Joe, probably first and foremost, he talked about the quarterback position, that being Derek Carr, a guy that Kellen Moore played against during their college days in conference action. Kellen Moore, a Boise State legend, against Derek Carr, who played his college football at Fresno State. Kellen Moore was prepared. He understood the questions he would receive in regards to Derek Carr being the quarterback of the future in the Big Easy, and was rather non-committal, highlighting Carr's success in his long football playing career, but never saying the words, he's our guy, he's our face of the franchise, and also not saying we're moving on from Derek Carr. Non-committal would be the term to use, Joe. What did you make of Kellen Moore's introductory presser?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you would expect. I mean, I think Kellen Moore, as a head coach, is up against it, and I hope the organization has time and patience with Kellen Moore and gives him potentially at least three seasons to generate and build this roster because it's a major rebuild. Even though they're in a winnable division, they have multiple pieces, including Derek Carr, at the quarterback position to fill. They have aging veterans on the offensive side like Kamara and DeMario Davis, their linebacker, that have done it for years, but they're at the back end of their careers. And, you know, the young talent that they do have, players like Chris Olave, just haven't been able to stay healthy and on to the football field to help the organization win games. And that's the biggest problem. So, again, it's a good fit because he's a young offensive mind. He just worked with multiple pieces in Philadelphia and bringing them a championship and a Super Bowl. So he's a young guy that could get it done, but you have to have the patience and you have to help him out in the draft and free agency, something that Mickey Loomis hasn't done during his tenure in New Orleans.
And he's been there for more than two decades, Joe, and it's been a constant for New Orleans, at least the last few years, of course, in cap purgatory. They are over the cap already entering this offseason by $54 million. In the red, minus $54 million. That's not good, especially, Joe, for a franchise that needs to build up a roster with many questions and many positional holes. However, Kellen Moore has this job because of his rapid rise in the coaching ranks. A six-year offensive coordinator around the National Football League, his first four in Dallas, tons of success with the Cowboys, not such a great year, but injuries a story during his lone season in 2023 with the Chargers, and of course, a Super Bowl winning OC now with the Philadelphia Eagles. He is viewed as an offensive whiz kid. He is the youngest NFL head coach at the age of 36, turning 37 this summer. And you would think, Joe, if that guy, an offensive mastermind, were to walk into a situation where he could prevail and have success right away, it would be where there is a quarterback in place, somebody he knows that he can partner with to find a beneficial scheme. They don't have that in New Orleans. Even if it is Derek Carr, which does not seem to be the case, there is no indication the Saints are set on retaining Derek Carr, albeit under contract. We'll talk about his deal in just a moment. It's a tough spot for Kellen Moore if his expertise is offense and you don't really have a lot of pieces that make you all that excited about what this Saints offense can be.
Right, and think about what they had with Dennis Allen, a very conservative coach that wanted to, you know, work off a defense, and the defense gave way and regressed last year. So now you bring in Kellen Moore, and to your point, you don't have any pieces. They are best right now, Ben, getting rid of Derek Carr, trying to trade him or see if a team like the Giants could pick him up. And if that's the case, then build with a young quarterback. There's no reason to near number one try and get six or seven wins with an aging quarterback, and then all of a sudden you're regressing in year two because you just can't sustain that type of productivity. So I don't understand what the organization big picture is. They have the right young head coach, potentially, but you have to start building and getting younger players in there, and that's something they haven't done. Again, is Derek Carr the answer? I don't believe he is. He hasn't really fit in New Orleans. The fan base, if you survey them, they really don't like Derek Carr, so they hate his guts. Let's be honest. Let's call it what it is. Love hates him. You know, every week it's a Derek Carr video, so you might as well ship him to at least a team, see if you can get some value. And then at that point, build, because if they don't, they could be in a similar situation with Brian Daboll and the Giants. And I always go back to that because that was the first year they overexceeded expectations, and they're in purgatory now because they never had a game plan outside of Daniel Jones. You need a game plan outside of Derek Carr.
Derek Carr has been in the National Football League now for more than a decade, just completed his 11th season. Next month, in late March, he turns 34 years old. He spent the first 9 years of his career, of course, with the Raiders as a franchise. They decided to make a move. They don't really have an answer at the quarterback spot either, but traded him to the New Orleans Saints, or released him, and he signed with New Orleans. When he signed with the Saints, Joe, entering 2023, New Orleans was the odds-on preseason favorite to win the NFC South, expected to contend for the division and maybe even a conference crown. One thing Derek Carr has always been is reliable and available. In the first 10 years of his NFL career, played at least 15 games. This past season, due to injury, only 10. The fewest amount of games he has played in and started throughout the entirety of his decade-plus NFL career. And he's about to be 34. And you have a new head coach who is seen as that offensive whiz. I don't think Derek Carr is the starting quarterback for the Saints, Joe, beginning in 2025. So, if that is the case, what does New Orleans do? And what's next for Derek Carr? It's a part of the overall quarterback questions and conversations that will be had around the National Football League this offseason. We'll highlight the teams that need to make a quarterback decision on the other side of the break. Live right here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Kellen Moore is the seventh and final head coaching hire of this 2025 carousel. Yesterday had his introductory press conference, a little bit late in the game, but of course, it came after he guided Philadelphia to a Lombardi Trophy. Joe, the main story of the press conference was, of course, Kellen Moore being rather noncommittal about Derek Carr's future within this Saints organization. Is he the face of the franchise? Probably not. Is he the starting quarterback come week one of the 2025 NFL campaign? Also, probably not. The issue with Derek Carr is he is under contract through the 2026 season. He can't just be cut with no sort of consequence. Which more than likely, Joe, means a deal has to happen. There has to be a trade package out there. I'm not so sure what Derek Carr would get in return. I'm not sure how many teams are clamoring for the services of Derek Carr, about to turn 34 next month. What do you think the market might be for Derek Carr if it's not in New Orleans?
Well, I mean, I brought up the Giants as one, right? That's been one of the rumblings that he's been linked to. And the reason why I say that is if they don't go and the Giants now are potentially those rumor mills about Stafford, whether that's true or not, what happens? Yeah. Where else could Derek Carr go and start? Tennessee, if they pulled a fastball, right? And just, you know, said we want to trade out of the first overall pick and get, you know, draft picks and let's just say move down. Where else? Could he go to the Steelers and start? I don't think that's a good fit. Right, especially playing in the dome and knowing where he's played a majority of his career, right? In cold weather, he's not that great of a quarterback. So where else could he go? I mean, it's like tied a little bit, Ben. Where else would you see Derek Carr outside the two teams that I mentioned? I mean, maybe? I mean, if the Rams move on, does here's the thing. Yeah. But that's the thing, like, we were talking about this all last week and this week. What happens if Stafford does, let's just say, one out of L.A.? They have no contingency plan. Who's the quarterback that they get? Justin Fields? I mean, Derek Carr? Who's out there? Jameis? I mean, does he go to the Browns? I don't know.
Oh, you were asking me a question. I thought my IMP died out for a second there. But Lizzie, yesterday on the show with Scott, we kind of ran through about six or seven teams around the NFL this offseason that are going to need to address a quarterback conversation. And not necessarily like in Indianapolis. Ooh, is Anthony Richardson it? Is he the future of our franchise? I'm talking about probably having a starting quarterback begin 2025 that is a different guy than you had to start 2024. A couple of those teams can address it, we would think, in the draft. The Titans hold the number one overall pick right now. The Browns, second overall pick. The Giants, third overall pick. Then you get to the Raiders, who have the sixth overall pick. The Jets, seventh overall pick. These New Orleans Saints, who draft ninth overall. And then later in the opening round, by all indications, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Probably seven NFL teams right there, Joe, that will look to have, at bare minimum, a different starting quarterback to start next year than they did this previous season. And you're talking what I think you just reflected there with Derek Carr. What exactly is the market for Carr? What exactly is the market outside of that for any quarterback? The free agency class isn't great. It's really Sam Darnold. Kirk Cousins and Derek Carr are probably the two biggest names, but both under contract and would have to be traded for, we would think, where their teams would take on a hefty, hefty penalty for doing so. And we talked about how the Saints are so far in over their heads when it comes to cap space. It's not a good place to be. And Joe, in the NFL draft, this quarterback class is not necessarily seen as elite by any means. We might see two, three guys at most, more than likely, go in the first round this upcoming April. So there's a good amount of teams, nearly a quarter of the league, we estimate, that is going to look to address that quarterback question, but maybe not many resources to answer that question.
And if you're looking at just overall quarterbacks, right? You want to throw Cousins in there, Aaron Rodgers, you want to throw Stafford and Darnold. Outside of Stafford, right? I would take a shot on Derek Carr over all of those. So,
yeah.
And the reason why I say that is I don't love Derek Carr. But if you're talking about, oh, bridge gap quarterback, oh, you know, my selections would be Stafford, Fields, and then Derek Carr over all the older guys, even Darnold, right? I would rather roll the dice on Derek Carr than Sam Darnold, knowing what I got in the last two games and the playoff
sure.
game. I would much rather take a shot on Derek Carr over Kirk Cousins that is could be washed up. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers on top of the locker room situation. So at least Derek Carr brings somewhat continuity to a locker room where you could say,
yeah.
All right, he's valued in that regard. He's not elite, but he's not average. He's slightly above that, and we can win some games. What fit is that in terms of the NFL? We won't know for like a couple of weeks, maybe even after the draft. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But again, I think a team like the Giants that, and the reason why I say that is Brian Daboll has no margin of error. So, you know, if you're the organization, they need a quarterback. But if you're Brian Daboll, you know you could be like Eberflus, right? Where you get a rookie quarterback, you don't get to 9-10 wins in year one, you're gone. So maybe they push and say, we don't like this class, and let's get Derek Carr or a veteran in there, and hopefully we can maybe grind out 10 wins.
Joe, it does not seem as though the Titans and the Browns are going to draft first and second overall in that order, just based on the early smokescreen season, speculation season that is the draft cycle. So maybe the Giants will have a quarterback fall in their lap, or maybe they're the team to move up, even if just by a spot, to get Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Kyle McCord, some other names that I would say are fringed first-rounder potential at this moment. And the interesting thing is, Joe, I agree with you. I think Derek Carr is probably that most reliable guy in all of this class of quarterback that could change places this offseason. But do any of the guys we listed make any of those seven teams a true playoff contender? Conference contender? Probably not. We'll continue to talk more about the NFL draft and the quarterback class up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisi got yesterday afternoon the complete prospect list. All 329 guys making their way to Indianapolis for the NFL Scouting Combine at the end of this month, just about a week and a half away, was unveiled. And Joe, we're going to talk a little bit of a quarterback focus to begin and then talk somebody listed as a cornerback and try to pair it up with the NFL number one overall pick odds, the only betting market we have available at this moment on FanDuel for the 2025 NFL draft. Joe, all of the notable quarterback names expected to attend in Indianapolis. Cam Ward, the current odds on favorite to go first overall. You have Shedeur Sanders, more than likely QB2 in this draft class. Names like Jackson Dart, Jalen Milroe, Kyle McCord, national champion Will Howard, who beat national champion runner-up Riley Leonard. Quinn Ewers, who started off this college football season, thought of as a top five, top 10 pick, now might not even hear his name called until day number three. Lisey guy, a lot of QBs will head to Indy. I wonder how many QBs we see in the opening round come late April in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I, you know, when you look at the draft class for quarterbacks, it's not deep. And, you know, love him or hate him, Jackson Dart is that, I want to say, outlier in terms of the fringe. To me, it's just Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, number one and number two. I personally would take Sanders over Cam Ward just because I think he's a better pocket passer. And what I mean, it's not to knock on Cam Ward, it's just Cam Ward a little bit shorter and at times extends plays by, you know, moving in the pocket and throwing at times against his body, which on the next level could be a factor. But, you know, we always see this. When teams need a quarterback, they, you know, somebody's going to wow at the combine, whether it be Milroe, the way AR did last year. And, you know, we know Jalen Milroe, raw, but the physical attributes are going to be there. We talked about Joe Milton, how he flew up last year in terms of his performance up until the third round. There's going to be a quarterback or a player that just flies up based off this performance. And that's why from the betting aspect right now, I don't see any other quarterback outside the top three. Like I would only bet on three. I don't think there's four or five. You know, I can't see a team valuing one of those other players at that type of price in the first round. I could be wrong, but we'll see. There's intriguing markets, and I know the cornerback will get on the defense. I think it's a very deep running back class, and we talk about going back to RB1s, you know, potentially with Derrick Henry and the performance with Saquon Barkley. There are a number of different backs, in my opinion, where you can make the argument, Ben, and I know from a value perspective, they're not maybe first overall picks, but when they get on the field, they are worthy of a first-round talent. And that's what's going to be intriguing to me when we watch this combine play out in basically 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very deep running back class, Joe, to your point. So many big names that you know from college that you expect to excel in the National Football League. Does that mean they're first-round picks, as Lisey alluded to? Perhaps not, but so many guys that are going to have a say in the National Football League. The record setter in Ashton Jeanty, probably a first overall pick. But even guys, Joe, like Taj Brooks, LaQuint Allen, Donovan Edwards, Trevor Etienne, DJ Giddens, Ollie Gordon II, Omarion Hampton, like so many names that excelled at this position in college football that we would expect to at least be drafted and or get a shot in the NFL, which is when you can take advantage of the running back position under a rookie deal, paying them at a discount. Because, Joe, I actually think we are starting to see the value once again in the running back position. Of course, led by Saquon Barkley, but even guys like Josh Jacobs, DeAndre Swift, performing incredibly well, getting paid in the offseason.
Yeah, and think about, you know, Rocket Sanders is on that list, right? Cam Scataboo, which had a dynamic semifinal playoff game, right? He's a dual threat type of running back. Damian Martinez, right? A bulldozer between the tackles. I mean, Montrell Johnson that came on for a rising Florida team. I mean, these are all backs that could go to an NFL organization and potentially contribution in year number one.
Yeah, absolutely so. We'll talk a little bit more quarterback for the NFL draft and then the reigning Heisman winner, who in terms of the NFL draft combine list, Travis Hunter is listed as a defensive back, a corner back. Where is Travis Hunter going to fall in the 2025 NFL draft? Find out next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
It is the early portion of the NFL offseason. It is early in draft season as well, about a week and a half away from the start of the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Joe, we're talking about quarterbacks right now. There is only one betting market available on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Who is going to be the first overall pick? Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami, via Wazoo, via Incarnate Word, is a -140 favorite. Second best price is Abdul Carter at +220, the outstanding edge rusher linebacker out of Penn State, and the reigning Heisman winner, Travis Hunter, at +450. Shador Sanders, his Colorado teammate, at a 6-1 number. Before you get to a very large drop-off, Jackson Dart, yet another quarterback, at 45-1. Lisa Guy, you would think if Dart even has a price to go first overall, there is at least some slight consideration that he could be a first-round pick. I'm not so sure. We're going to have a lot of odds markets that open up over the next few months until we get to late April for the 2025 NFL Draft in Green Bay, Wisconsin. One of those markets is going to be over-under number of quarterbacks selected in the first round. Last year, Joe, we saw a record. 6 quarterbacks taken in the opening round, all 6 in the top 12. It was the most we have ever seen in the first round in the modern draft era, dating back to 1994 when the NFL firmly became a 7-round draft. Lisa, we're not going to get 6 this year. I'm not even sure we're going to get 3, but I do think the over-under is going to be set at 2.5. Do you think that's probably a fair prospect at this moment?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I like that Jackson Dart, and I was on him all last year. But the tape doesn't lie. And when you go to games and you watch him play against LSU and he can't win that game on the road, and then, with a must-win game with his team looking and staring at a college football playoff appearance, he throws 2 critical interceptions in the swamp against a young defense and didn't step up. Worst game of the year. That is more important to me than what he does in the combine. I don't care if he grips it and rips it for 90 miles an hour. That doesn't matter to me. It matters about what he did in big games. And if we're talking about putting a value on that type of player in the first 10 picks, where I know I have to commit to this guy for 4 or 5 seasons, pay him X amount of dollars, and I need him to be able, whether he can or not, I need him to be able to start from day one, a la Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I can't put that value or price tag on Jackson Dart. So there's only 2 guys that you could say, I'll roll the dice whether they pan out or not, and that's Shador and Cam. Other than that, everything's a huge risk at this point.
Lizzie, I would agree with you. I'd say about a month ago, as the college football season became a little bit more crystallized, the end of the NFL season, what the draft order was going to look like, I would have said there's 2 quarterbacks going in the opening round. And I still think only 2 are probably worthy of a first-round grade / consideration. But we know how the draft works. We know how NFL teams feel. There will be a quarterback, if not multiple, that over the next few weeks and months rises up the ranks, is seen as a first-round pick, as a top 10, top 15 caliber selection. Maybe they'll be correct. Maybe they won't be. But I do believe there will be some consideration for a third QB to go in the first round. I'm just not sure it is the right choice. Only twice, Joe, in the last 10, 15 years or so, at least since 2013, have we seen just 1 quarterback go in the opening round. 2013, it was EJ Manuel, about 16th overall to the Buffalo Bills. 2022, not all that long ago, Kenny Pickett, the only first round pick. Of course, the latest we have ever seen a quarterback go in the opening round, 20th overall. Not quite that bleak at the quarterback spot, but not quite the quarterback classes of the last 2 years. Joe, a lot of this also tied into who is going to be selecting first and second and third overall. And we learned earlier this week the Titans are going to listen to offers for that first overall pick. New GM in Nashville, Mike Borgonzi, I guess, is going to have an open phone line. Lisa, do you think there's a team not named Tennessee selecting first overall come late April?
Yeah, I think that's possible. Again, if you're Tennessee, I mean, if I was Tennessee, I would take the quarterback, right? Because you have nothing right now. But, it's a business. And if you're going to throw, you know, four or five draft picks, whether they're number, you know, a handful of number ones or whatever, to get that number one overall selection, and maybe a veteran quarterback that can hold you over. Maybe the team, they have so many needs that they need to fill that I could see potentially they do that. Personally, if I was Tennessee, I'm pulling the trigger. I'm living or dying with one of these quarterbacks, because if I don't get them now, I might not ever get them. And knowing how they missed with Malik Willis and Will Levis, not even first-round talents at that particular time, and they drafted them with the hopes of being starters, if they trade out and Shador and Cam turn out to be all pros like Jaden Daniels in year number one, the organization will never live it down, and that's it. But they're stupid. You know, they're a dumb organization. And that's why I believe it's – no, they are. Let's call it what it is. You know, they reached up and grabbed Will Levis. I mean, they reached up picked Malik Willis. They did that. Whether that's a former GM or not, as an organization as a whole, they made that assessment. And they're dumb enough to trade away the number one overall pick.
Completely agree. New GM, as Lisa alluded to, Mike Borgonzi, but the Titans have made some very interesting draft decisions in terms of the quarterback spot in back-to-back years, nothing in 2024. Joe, if the Titans do in fact trade out of that spot, I still think a quarterback goes first overall. And that is also a component of those betting odds. Cam Ward right now, -140 to be the first overall pick. To win that bet, to cash that ticket, Cam just has to go before anybody else hears their name called, not Cam Ward first overall to the Titans. Joe, let's go to the reigning Heisman winner, who is not a quarterback for the first time in a while. That's Travis Hunter, the two-way superstar at the collegiate level, officially listed as a corner back in the NFL Scouting Combine participant list. I'm not surprised by that, Joe. I think he is best and most elite on the defensive side of the football. I think NFL teams probably have a similar evaluation. But that's all to say, just because he goes in as a DB to the combine does not mean he only has to play DB in the NFL.
No, and Deion certainly did both throughout his career, right? Especially with the San Francisco 49ers and the Dallas Cowboys. You know, he was a partial wide receiver in certain sets. So depending upon how they're going to utilize him, I think when you take Travis Hunter, yes, you evaluate him at his best attribute, and that's lockdown corner. But you know that you're getting potentially a two-way player that maybe could be explosive for your offense in given sets, right? So I think it's a win-win. If you have a defensive back need, and look at Philadelphia, we're getting two defensive backs, Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell. They've completely transformed their defense this year to a Super Bowl contender. When you have a lockdown corner in today's game that takes away a third or a half of the field, all of a sudden, now you're cooking with gas. So he's definitely a top three player. Where does he go? There's a number of teams now that are all of a sudden switching their scope and saying, oh, we thought we needed offense. Maybe we need defense the way Philly bought it. So he could be the hottest commodity in this draft.
It will be really interesting, Joe, to see where he falls. A big name player with a lot of talent and, of course, a lot of notoriety behind him as well. I think he's going to be a top five pick. That's without question in my mind, but where it's exactly in that top five and how much is influenced by what Tennessee and Cleveland do with the first and second overall selections. Plenty more around the NFL and in football as a whole in this offseason next on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on FFC, it is Football Full Circle. He's Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. Lisi, guys, some more news around the NFL for a team that is currently slated to select third overall. That's the New York Giants, looking to sell a limited stake in the ownership group of their franchise. The Mara and Tisch families releasing a statement that they are putting up for sale about 10%, a minority ownership stake, and we'll see what happens. It's supposed to be, Joe, not just a minority ownership group coming in to be a part of the Giants franchise moving forward, but to set a record-setting valuation of what an NFL team could go for, of course, is that is always on the rise. There are some reports that Eli Manning could be the front runner or the foreperson, if you will, for a potential group that could make a bid for that ownership stake. So the Giants going to sell a little bit of what they got.
Let me say this. They're going to take in about $700 million, right? If they say, if it's valued, I think 7.3 to 7.8. I mean, depending upon if Washington, I believe Josh Harris's deal paid. They said he won it with a $6 billion bid, but he paid $7 billion in cash. But they said he paid $7 billion in cash. So they take $700 million. If it is Eli, it's similar to what Las Vegas did, right? Selling a majority of the shares and having a Super Bowl winning quarterback, the GOAT, Tom Brady, come in. I guess it brings in new life. It brings in maybe a different vision. Now, they don't have majority say, but it maybe just adds a little bit more, I want to say, newness to the organization, especially when you think of storied franchises, you think Super Bowl titles. If it is a former player that comes in and brings a winning culture and attitude, it can hurt. You know, I do feel the organization, though, like just from a stadium perspective, and you look at the valuation because it's the New York market, they really should upgrade that stadium. Even though it's fairly new, it's nowhere near Las Vegas. It's terrible. It's nowhere near the valuation. So if you're asking me, you know, would you want to buy into 10%? You're buying into 10% of the New York market, but you're not buying, you're not getting the full rewards, let's say, as opposed to Dallas. That if Jerry, you know, opened that up, that valuation, you know, is in the area of, I bet, $11 billion.
Yeah, listen, you're still buying into a profitable thing to be involved in a New York sports market for the Giants with a fan base that will always be invested. I completely agree. It's a fan base, though, that is getting a little bit tired and wants to see some results and needs to see some winning. And just in terms of MetLife Stadium as a whole, where both the Giants and the Jets play, it sucks for being in the New York marketplace, for being in the New York area, but technically in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It is not difficult to get to from Manhattan, from the city, from surrounding areas because of public transportation. That's not my issue. There's just nothing cool about it. There's not one redeeming quality about MetLife. It's not exactly convenient by any means. They don't have great attractions around there, unless you want to call the racetrack on the other side of the parking lot that takes about 15 minutes to drive to anyway. There's just not a lot that goes on around there that you would think would be the hot spot. That is New York, right? The Big Apple, the city that never sleeps. It's not really that. Of course, they can't build a football stadium with that infrastructure in New York City, in Manhattan, any longer. You don't have the charm of Madison Square Garden or even Soldier Field in Chicago that has its own issues. So you have to go to the outskirts. I understand that. There's just not much that they have spruced up around that area to make it feel like a destination or something really unique.
Yeah, and think about what Philly did, right? Philly has all four stadiums or three stadiums right in conjunction with each other where, you know, and you know that the link. Even the link has that indoor bar area. It's a party house.
Yeah.
It attracts a lot of young clientele, and that's what you want, right? You just don't want to buy in. Okay, it's a winning storied organization, but now we have to upgrade everything. We have no attraction but a football team. You know, you still want to go if the team sucks. You still want to enjoy yourself at the stadium. Like, dude, sure. Where are you going to go? The American Dream Mall? You're going to go down that slide? That place stinks. Yeah. I mean, give me a break. I mean, I lived Jersey my whole life, and it's not all that.
Where are you from?
Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's right. Never forget. Joe Lisi from BK.
Where are you from?
Anyway, Lisi. Calabasas, California.
Uh, Oh, okay. Just West Coast, baby.
You know me, man. You know me. When you're out on the West Coast next year having fun at the Super Bowl, try to stop by and say hi to Ricky Steve. So as we go around all the football offseason, Joe, we haven't talked a lot of college football here on this show. One, you've been away for a little bit of time, not like away, not doing anything, obviously working and working hard and doing some great work. But we've also focused on the NFL postseason, of course, the build-up to the Super Bowl, all of that, the early going of the offseason. But now we kind of hit that lull in the NFL. Final introduction for a head coach happened yesterday, about a week and a half until the NFL scouting combine. There's been a lot happening around CFB. Most recently, Joe, the complete reworking of the staff under Ryan Day in Columbus. Chip Kelly, now the offensive coordinator in Las Vegas for the Raiders. They promote Ryan Hartline, the very outstanding wide receivers coach and recruiter, to be that new acting OC with full play calling responsibility. Jim Knowles, who was the defensive coordinator in Columbus the last 2 years, making the Buckeyes defense the best in the country, basically, for 2 years in a row, leaves for Penn State. That was some big news. He's from the Philly area, so he wanted to head back home. Ohio State, Joe, earlier this week, hires who to be the new DC? Matt Patricia. What are your early thoughts?
Well, I think Ryan Day is a coach that not a lot of coordinators like working for. I'll just say that. It's a great hire all around, but we could get into it on the back end. There's a lot of coordinators that just jump ship after a while, and that's a little fishy to me.
Part of that is success, right? But maybe Lisi is onto something. We'll talk about Ohio State and the Buckeyes' outlook to repeat next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle for the first time in a while. About some college football conversations. Joe, earlier this week, Matt Patricia named the new defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes, our reigning national champs. Of course, they needed to fill that vacant spot because Jim Knowles, rather surprisingly, left Ohio State, which was the best defense all year long in college football, one of the main reasons they won a national championship, to head to an in-conference foe in Happy Valley and Penn State. Now, Patricia hasn't worked in college football, Joe, in over two decades, when he was last an offensive assistant at Syracuse in 2003. But longtime defensive coordinator in New England, won a couple of Super Bowls under Bill Belichick, was the head coach in Detroit for about 2.5 years. That flamed out infamously, and most recently was kind of working as an assistant with the Eagles 2 years ago, then had to take over as the defensive play caller. That didn't go all that well either. But a guy, of course, that has the defensive acumen and the pedigree where you would think, Joe, that experience could have success on the collegiate level. Will Matt Patricia be a successful defensive coordinator in college?
Yes, because the talent's there. I mean, Ohio State, you know, defending national champions, they're going to have top five talent, you know, across every level. Can he coach them up? Absolutely. Will he get along with Ryan Day? We'll see. Because there's been, you know, and I keep saying that because I understand Jim Knowles is from PA. I get that. But you just won a national championship. Now you're going to go potentially to one of your arch rivals just because the money's there and you want to go home. The reports came out that during one of the playoff games against Oregon, Day was very vocal with Knowles, and there was a lot of going on with the defense, and you've heard this, and we saw Chip Kelly now bolt for Las Vegas for an OC job. Something just doesn't jive. I'm sorry. You know, you've heard former players come out and say Ryan Day, you know, likes to throw a lot of people under the bus. You know, maybe that'll change now that he's won a national championship. But right now, Patricia's a Belichick type of guy. They've won at every level. And I don't know long term if this is a marriage that'll play out in Columbus. Will he be successful? Yes, successful enough where I don't think their defense is going to be atrocious. Successful getting along with Day, that's a bigger question.
Yeah, it is interesting. There's been a lot of coordinator turnover in the last few years for Ohio State. Longtime DC Kerry Combs, he was supposed to be the guy. He got dispatched for Jim Knowles because Combs' defense could not defend Michigan on the ground. Knowles still had some issues with that as well, but ultimately now at the pinnacle as a national champ. We have seen some offensive coordinators come and go. Ryan Day calling plays. Brian Hartline elevated in 2023, but Day still really calling plays for most of that season. Now Hartline is taking over play calling duties. Will it be successful? We shall see. Of course, a lot of changes now, Joe, this year for Ohio State, but they returned so much talent offensively, namely in Jeremiah Smith. Julian Sand expected to be that starting quarterback. They're going to lose a lot on the defensive side of the football as well. Some of those anchors of their defense the last few years. Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau. You got guys like Denzel Burke in the back end of that secondary, so on and so forth. There is always going to be talent. The Buckeyes are booked as the national championship favorites for 2025 at this moment at a 6-1 price, a half dollar shy in front of Texas and Oregon, a dollar in front of Georgia, $2 in front of Penn State with the addition of Jim Knowles and the return of Drew Aller and Nick Singleton and Catron Allen. A lot is expected now in Happy Valley. Those are the five best prices, Joe, all separated by just $2 to win next year's Natty.
Yeah, if I had a bet right now, I would still go back to the Georgia Bulldogs at 7-1. You know, I know they didn't get it done against Notre Dame, but I still believe in Kirby Smart to right the ship. Obviously, with the quarterback concerns now, they have a future. They know where they're going to go. They have playmakers, and we know Georgia. You know, the biggest thing when you look at the interior line, Georgia is dominant, right? They've recruited very well. So I like Georgia's chances this year. I would take a shot right now. If we're looking at dark horses, you know, my heart's with LSU. We're talking about explosive. 20-1, I already played it.
Yeah, I know you did. A lot of wide receiver talent now in the body.
Nick Anderson.
For Garrett Nussmeier. Nick Anderson, Marion Brown. A lot to like if you're BK. See if it works. Jolies, Ben Stevens. Hope everybody has a great weekend. Spend time with your loved ones. It's Valentine's Day. We'll talk to you Monday.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.